Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
Amen. As you're having a seat, get your Bibles and go with me to Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans chapter number 8. We've been in a series called Controlling the Flesh. Up until this time, we've been talking about a lot of the principles, but now we're going to talk about the practice. Today, this is where the rubber meets the road. Last time together, Pastor Deborah preached out of Romans 8, 1 through 4. Anybody enjoy Pastor Deborah last week? Didn't she do? I tell you, man, that lady is a preaching machine. She is awesome. And so we learned about the law of the spirit of life, and we learned about the law of sin and death. We can operate in the flesh or in the spirit. We understand that there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the spirit. But I love what Leonard Ravenhill said about this subject. He said, Romans 7 is a tomb, but Romans 8 is a triumph. Romans 7 is a funeral march. Romans 8 is a wedding march. Romans 7 is defeat. Romans 8 is deliverance. Romans 7, Paul's a victim, but Romans 8, he is a victor. Today, I'm going to give you some principles that will help you to have the victory over sin. Today, you're going to get some principles that are going to challenge you, but they're also going to encourage you to gain the victory over the flesh and over controlling your life. It's time for us to take control, because there are so many people out there that are out of control, being led by their passions, their lusts, their desires, and getting the wrong thing in life, getting to the wrong destination because they're in the wrong mode. They're yielding to the flesh rather than yielding to the power of the Holy Spirit. We've learned about the presentation. We've learned about the marriage that we have to Christ. We've learned about all these things. But practically, how does this look in our life? The Word of God has an answer for us. And today, this is where I wanted to get to. This is the pinnacle of this message series. This week and next week, we're really going to have some very practical things about how to control the flesh. Romans 8, starting in verse number 5. Let's take a look at it together. Look at what it says in verse number 5. It says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit," the implication is they set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Verse 6, "For to be carnally minded," notice he switches terms here, flesh and carnal, okay? They're synonymous terms. Really, carne meaning meat, right? When we operate in a mindset that's fleshly, you're being a meathead. So he says, "For to be carnally minded is what? Death." Now, if you've been in this series, you remember that death is separation. See, when I die, I don't cease to exist. My body might stop, but my spirit man is going to live on eternally. So death is separation from the body. Spiritual death is separation from God, and really the life that God has for all of us. So to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is, look at this, life, connection with God, but also he adds another word, peace. Many people out there looking for peace. They're troubled by the world, troubled in their own soul, troubled with cares and weighed down with the weights of life. Things have gone on that they can't reconcile. They don't understand. They're trudging through life looking for provision, looking for prosperity, looking for some goodness, some glimmer of hope, and yet they're troubled and weighed down. See, if you're carnally minded, it's going to be death. It's going to be separation. But if you're spiritually minded, it's not only life, but it's also peace. Now, peace in the world is just the absence of adversity. But biblical peace is different. Biblical peace is better. How many know everything with God is better? Amen? See, when God gives peace, it's not just the absence of adversity. No, peace is being at peace in the midst of adversity. Peace is peace even if you're challenged. Peace is peace even in a trial. Peace is wholeness. Peace is fullness. Peace is having everything you need to succeed. That is biblical peace, because when God gives, he gives better. So he says to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse number 7, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God." Now this word enmity really means to be at war with or in opposition to. So notice, when we have a fleshly, carnal mind, we are in opposition to God. And he goes on to say this, "For it is not subject to the law of God." That's what we talked about, the law of the spirit of life. You can't do it in the flesh. Look at the last part, "nor indeed can be." That's why we've said this over and over in this series, that this is not just the power of positive thinking. This is not some new age message that if I can just have mind over matter, then I can accomplish what I think I need to do. That's not going to work. Listen, you can think it as much as you want. You can try and manifest it as much as you want. The only thing you're going to manifest is your flesh. You will only go as far as the limitations that you have in the body. And the devil will be laughing all the way to the bank. Why? Because that's what he wants over your life. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But God says, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So we got to get the spiritual mindset, because the spiritual mindset is life and is peace. The principles that I'm about ready to teach you today, I learned over 20 years ago coming to this church, learning from our founding pastors. I incorporated them into my life and I put them into practice. It was hard. It was tough. I worked at it over and over and over again. The devil came and tried to come at me with things, but I worked at the principles that I'm about ready to teach you. And I can say that I'm not the same man that I was 20 years ago. I'm a better Christian. I'm a better husband. I'm a better father. I'm doing greater things in the things of God. Why? Because, guys, listen, I may be anointed to preach this, but I'm no more anointed to live this than you are. We're all in this together. We're all incorporating. And I have seen this work in my life. Therefore, I know God is no respecter of persons. It can work in your life. Are you listening today? All right? Today, here's where we're going. Okay, how to control the flesh. We're gonna talk about it. Now, let me just rewind your thinking for a moment, okay, before we get into the practical steps. Remember that you are a spirit that has a soul and you live in a body. We are three-part beings, just like God is a three-part being. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. How do I understand that? Look at yourself. Your spirit, the real you is the you on the inside of you that if you died, lived on. That's your spirit man. God, when he formed Adam, he breathed the breath of God and man became a living being. Why? Because the spirit was now birthed on the inside of him. So you are a spirit, that's the real you. But you're a spirit who has a soul, that's your mind, your will, your emotions, your thought life, that's your passions, your lusts, your desires, the things that you're thinking about, okay? That's all in the realm of your soul. But you live in a body, it's just an earth suit. This is just a temporary house, this is a tent, it's my dwelling while I'm here on the earth. But there's gonna come a day that I cast this off, but if Jesus comes again, I'll get a new body. We get a new tent, one without a sin nature in it. And remember, in the flesh is a sin nature. That's why it says that the body and the spirit, they're in opposition. Notice that little circle with the line through it. The body and the spirit don't work together. In fact, they don't even play well together. They don't like each other. The book of Galatians tells us the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, so that you do not do the things that you want to do. Why? Because you can elevate through your soul realm one or the other. The battle is always fought right here in your mind. What are you going to choose to do? If you elevate the body, look at what happens. You cancel out the power of the spirit. But if you elevate the spirit, now you can control the body. That's why the Bible says to present your members. Present your members as instruments of righteousness. To present your bodies as a living sacrifice. How do you do that? Because your mind links up with the Spirit of God, and now you can control the flesh. And what happens when we do? Notice this last slide. If our soul and our body link up, you've got death, and you've got enmity or war with God. But when we get into the Spirit, when we make that right choice, now it's life, and now it's peace. So how to control the flesh? First thing you gotta do, again, very practical today, is you gotta get the God mindset. It starts all by getting a God mindset. Not the flesh. No, the carnal mind is enmity. The carnal mind is death. But the spiritual mindset is life and peace. So I got to get that spiritual mindset. I love what the Message paraphrase says. It says that obsession with ourself is a dead end. Think about this. If all you're doing is thinking about how to gratify the desires of your flesh, it's going to be a dead end. Why? Because to be carnally minded is death. Therefore, if I'm going down a road of thinking, if I'm going down a path in my mind that only is about my flesh and gratifying my own desires, that's a dead end. But the spiritual mind, not only is life and peace, but in the Message, it says this. It says that the attention to God leads us into an open space. Think about the freedom that we have when we operate in the spaces that God wants us to be in. You can go anywhere in that and be safe. You can go anywhere within that realm of God's boundaries and God's borders, and you can know that you have the power of God available to you. You have the life of God. You've got the peace of God. You've got everything that you need to succeed when you operate in God's realm. There's freedom. But if we're absorbed with ourselves, then we end up ignoring God. Why? Because you only have so much attention. And you cannot be mindful of the things of God if you're only navel-gazing and staring at yourself. I had an experience the other day. We were at Disneyland. Pastor Deborah just celebrated her 75th birthday. And so we, as a family, said, Mom, what do you want to do for your birthday? You know, do you want to go to dinner? Do you want to go on a trip? Like, you're 75. What's up? You know, and she was like, all I want to do is I want to go to Disneyland with as many of my family members as I can. So we got all the family we could together. It was 15 of us all went to Disneyland. How many know 15 people at Disneyland? It's hard to find anything to do, right? Yeah, we're going to stand in line. Someone's going to go to the bathroom. Then you're going to go try and find dinner. I was at three tables with five chairs around them each. And I was like laying my backpack on one, put my coat on the other. And then I was standing there ready to judo chop anybody who came near. Don't be looking at my table. There are 15 of us, all right? I remember I lost track of which table I was at. And there was a lady like setting up. And I was like, oh, ma'am. And then I looked back behind me. I said, never mind. We're good. I got my three. I was about ready to just, you know. But here we are at Disneyland, and we're walking back, and they wanted to go and see the lights on Small World, you know, for Christmas at night. It's so beautiful and so lit up and amazing, all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, I've seen it. I got that picture. Can we move on? You know, but here we are. We're walking back, and the fireworks show started. You know, the lights dim, and the music starts, all that kind of stuff. And so we're all looking up because now all of a sudden they're shooting fireworks off in the air. And the music is going, and I'm standing there, and we were in a new place, and so I'm like, wow, this is beautiful. I've never seen it from this side before. You know, we're looking at the castle over here, and then they're shooting the fireworks in the back by Toontown over there. I'm like, this is great. But then I noticed there was like this kind of pale light that wasn't going away. You know, like the fireworks light up, and that was cool, but there was this pale light that just didn't go away. And I'm like, what is going on? There's something weird happening here at Disneyland. And I noticed it was all the people with their cell phone up. And I'm like thinking, you know, there's a fireworks show going on. And they're all like, you know, I'm getting the fireworks over here. And I'm like, when are you ever going to look at that again? And who are you going to send that to? Like, or is that just a post online so that someone else sees how much fun you're having? You're not having any fun. You're sitting there like this. I mean, my goodness. We live in a selfie-saturated society, don't we? Everybody's, and even when they take a groupie, it's no longer a groupie, right? Let's take a selfie together. Really what they're saying is, I want you in my picture, but it's really of me. Why? Because they're going to post, tag me on that. Hey, somebody tag me on that. Well, I mean, everybody is so looking at themselves. We can't even take a moment to stop and just be in the moment in awe and wonder of what's going on all around us. See, when you are only paying attention to yourself, you are ignoring God. See, that's the fleshy mindset. The fleshy mindset is in opposition to God. It's at enmity with God. When you're thinking about yourself, whatever it is, you're not thinking about God. That's why it's death. It's separation from the very life of God. See, we cannot continue to be self-centered. We have to start to think God-centered and get the God mindset. Now, this all starts by identifying where your thoughts are at. Are they in the flesh or are they in the spirit? Now, I think you guys are smart, okay? I know you may not think you're smart, but I do. Anybody know I'm smart, Pastor? Anybody? Okay, some of you guys know this. The rest of you guys don't. You're smart. You have the ability to figure out where your thoughts are at. I believe that you're smart enough to do that. Let me just test you on this for a second, okay? I'm going to put some images up on the screen. They're going to have some word bubbles, all right, of what people are thinking about. You're going to see it. Okay, it's going to be coming out of their mouth. You have the ability. I want you to tell me whether or not they're in the flesh or whether or not they're in the spirit. Okay, you ready for this? Here we go. Let's go for the first one. All right, look at this. Here they are. They're at the farm, and his head is down. He's just discouraged, and he says, I give up. I'm just worthless. Why even try? Is that the flesh or is that the spirit? I told you were smart. Look at that. You guys nailed it. All right, one for one. Here we go. Let's go to the second one. Okay, they're at the cafe, and he's got some sort of problem going on, but she's saying something. What is she saying? She's saying, I think we should pray about it and see what God wants. Is that the flesh or is that the spirit? Spirit. Good job. Look at two for two. All right, let's go to the third one. Here we go. They're in the supermarket. He's got his fist clenched, and he says, yeah, they hurt me pretty bad, but I will make them pay for it. That's the flesh, right? Why? Because the Bible says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, and I will repay. It says that you don't curse people. No, you bless them when they curse you. Why? Because you were called to inherit a blessing. You don't repay evil for evil, but evil with good. Good will overcome evil. So that's the flesh. We don't make people pay. Vengeance is the wrong spirit. Okay, let's go to the next one. Oh, look at this. Okay, they're talking. They're in the mall. And she says, the Bible says, whenever the Bible comes out of your mouth, is that the flesh or is that the spirit? Why? Because the Bible, the word of God, is spirit and it is life, connection to God. If you ever feel distant from God, if you ever feel like, man, I just feel like I'm only in the flesh or I got the wrong mindset, how do I get out of the flesh? Just start speaking the word. Why? Because now all of a sudden you're switching your mind frame over to the life of the spirit, the connection to God. His word is spirit, the Bible says. All right, you guys are 4 for 4. I wonder if you can get this last one. It's a really hard one. Let's take a look at the last one. I heard a whole lot of what? Flesh. No, it's actually the spirit, because he's talking about hashtag at ant, okay? Which really, I'm kidding. No. It's definitely the flesh, You guys need to give yourselves a hand, all right? Come on. So you got this. You can identify, where is the thought coming from? Is it the flesh or is it the spirit? And if you ever doubt yourself, say, no, I went 5 for 5 in church. I know I can do this. But once you realize, where is the God mindset? I got to get the God mindset. Get your mind on the things of the Spirit. Colossians chapter 3, you're there in Romans. Turn past 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and find the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter number 3. And in Colossians chapter 3, we're going to take a look at verse number 1 and verse number 2. Look at what it says. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse number 1, it says this. It says, if then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are where? Above, right? When we think about heaven, notice, heaven is up, right? Heaven is a spiritual place. Heaven is the place where God lives and God is spirit. So if your mind is on things above, is that the flesh or the spirit? Spirit. Spirit. So he says, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Verse number 2, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Some of you guys have a television set that you set the channel. Some of you guys have a radio that you set the channel to. Some of you guys have a thermostat at home that you set the temperature. Notice, you choose where you're going and what you're doing. In the same way with the flesh or the spirit, get the God mindset. You have to set your mind on things above. You have to set your mind on Christ. You have to set your mind on the word. That's how this works. But once you get the God mindset, you got to keep the God mindset. Remember, I was talking about a television set. I wonder if there's anybody old enough in this room to remember a day where there was a box, a big box with a tube on the inside of it. It had this little circle dial on it, and it had a little line, and you had to click it. And we called that the television set back in the day. Now the TV is this big flat thing up on the wall, right? But how many of you remember that box that you had to actually get up out of your... Okay, I see you guys. Someone yesterday was dating themselves. They said, I remember black and white. I was like, dude, just calm down, all right? But you actually had to get up out of your seat and you had to go and you had to turn the dial. And we didn't have 167 channels. We had like 7, right? 8 if you counted like 56 and the public access, you know, maybe 9. But really, you only had a few channels that you could look at. And you didn't have Cartoon Network. You had Saturday morning. You had to get up early if you were going to watch some cartoons. There was no Disney Channel. It was Channel 7 on Sunday night, The Wonderful World of Disney. Maybe you'd get a movie you like. Maybe you got Pollyanna. I don't know. It was just like rolling the dice and let's see what they did there today. But that was how it was. But back in the day, they used to say something. They used to say, don't touch that dial. But what were they saying? They're saying our programming is on a specific thought. It's a specific thing that we're presenting to you here. Now, we're about ready to present you with something different. You're about ready to get a word from our sponsors, but don't get distracted. The main thing that you want to be paying attention to is coming back to you. So I don't want you to get your thinking off of where we're at. Don't touch that dial. Don't get off of this channel. Think about this for a second. If you get the God mindset, all of a sudden, you're thinking about things above. You're thinking about Jesus. There's going to be things that are presented to you throughout your day that will get you off into another channel of thinking. Hello? And God is saying to us, don't touch that dial. Get the God mindset, but now you got to keep the God mindset. Don't get distracted with this world. When your boss comes storming in and reads you the riot act for something that you didn't do, but blames you, and now all of a sudden you got extra work to do and you have to stay late, God says, don't touch that dial. I still got peace for you. When you go to the doctor or the dentist and you're sitting in the chair, and they come in and they give you a bad report, God says, don't touch that dial. I am still your healer. When you go home and you're doing the bills and you're sitting there and all of a sudden you open up one that was unexpected and you don't know how you're going to pay, God says, don't touch that dial. I am still your provider. See, we got to make sure that we not only get the God mindset, but that we keep the God mindset, because things are going to come to distract us and to deter us from the thinking on the things of God. Remember, this is the battle. This is where it's fought. And this is where it won. We have to keep our mind set on God. See, the word set really means a fixation. That's really what it's talking about, almost like an obsession with something. So you guys understand fixation, right? Because it's like you can't get it off your mind. You're always thinking about it. You're always set on it. And some people might say, well, I don't have a fixation with my flesh. You know, I may get in the flesh every now and then, but I'm not fixated on it. But let me ask you this on the opposite side of that coin. Are you fixated on the things of the Spirit? Are you obsessed with God? See, sometimes people, they write this up. Well, we don't have to be so spiritual. Why do we always have to talk about the Bible? Is it always being in church and always thinking about it? I mean, we got to live this life. And I get what you're saying. I understand that. And guess what? You know, I still live life. We still do things and we still watch movies and we still go out and we relate with people and that sort of thing. But I'll tell you what, my mind is always on God. Because there's going to be things that come and present themselves to take my thinking off God. And so I got to stay fixated that even if I'm watching this movie, if this is going to get me off God, I'm going to take the movie out. I'm not going to touch that dial. That dial is a more important one. I'll touch this dial to get it off that thing that was presented to me. See, I remember one time we were sitting watching a movie with the boys, and as we're sitting, I don't remember if my daughter was there or not, but we're watching this movie, and while we're watching the movie, all of a sudden clothes started coming off. It was PG-13, but they were acting like it was rated R. I was just like, what the heck? You know what I'm saying? It just caught us out of left field. And so all of a sudden, the boys are turning their heads. I'm looking for the remote. My wife is doing this. She's got the remote in her hand. She's just screaming, ah, you know? And in the middle of all this, my wife cries out, and she says, boys, think about the cross. And all of us boys in the room were kind of like, what? But I'll tell you something, it worked. I can't even remember what movie we were watching. I don't remember what they were doing. I don't remember any of the clothing or any of that. I don't remember. You know what I remember in that moment? Jesus, right there on the cross. That's what I remember, the cross. Why? Because she said, hey, you got to set your mind on things above. Don't touch that dial. Keep the God mindset. Don't let this get you off right now, because that could very easily take you away. No, you got to think about things above. We choose our mindset. You have to fix your thoughts on Jesus Christ, because if you have a fixation with the flesh, it's time to fix your thinking. And the way to fix your thinking is by to choose to keep the God mindset. Flesh or spirit, life or death, what do you want? God connected or disconnected? You choose war or peace. The outcome is obvious. Let me give you a great verse. This is not just a good verse. This is a great verse from Isaiah chapter number 26. Turn there with me in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter number 26. Some of you guys looking for peace, looking for life. I'll tell you, this verse right here is life-changing. It's life-giving. This is one of those verses you want to write down and put on a post-it note on your mirror when you're brushing your teeth so that you can meditate on it. One of those things you maybe want to put that post-it note on the dashboard of your car so every time you get in, you get this verse back in your spirit. Maybe memorize it. Speak it over your life. Look at what it says, Isaiah 26, verse number 3. It says, you will keep him in, I like this. Not just peace, perfect peace. You will keep him in perfect. See, God is perfect. And God gives good gifts to his children, but he doesn't give like the world gifts. World will give it for a period of time, take it away. World will give it, and then they'll belittle you for it, remove it, laugh at you for it. World will give their measure that they can give, but God is perfect, and God gives good gifts to his children. See, the world might have peace. God has a better peace. God has perfect peace. You will keep him in perfect peace. Whose what? Whose mind? Remember, we said the battle is fought and won in your mind. Wherever you choose to set your thinking is where you're going to live, whether in the flesh or whether in the spirit. If you're in the spirit, it's life and peace. Not just peace, perfect peace. Why? Because you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. Don't touch that dial. Don't get up. Don't touch the dial. Leave it where it's at. Why? Because he trusts in you. See, many times I find that when our mind and our thinking gets off of the things of God, it's because we don't really trust God in that area of our life. I got to work harder because I got to make this money. And God is saying, I'm your provider. If you just come to me and ask me, I'll give you the plan for this. We start thinking, well, maybe if I can just go and take this pill, if I can just go to this doctor, if I can just do this routine, then maybe I'll be more healthy. And God says, I'm your healer. If you come to me, I'll give you the plan. I'll touch you. I'll heal you. I'll bless you. I'll show you what you need to do. I'll show you the steps. Man, maybe if I just go and buy more roses, maybe if I buy more gifts, maybe if I get chocolates, maybe if I just be nicer and say nicer things, then my marriage will be better. Listen, God is saying, will you just come to me? I've got perfect peace for you in your marriage. I got perfect peace for you with your kids. I got perfect peace for you on the job. Would you just come and keep your mind on the God mindset? Keep your mind in the Spirit, and there will be life and there will be peace. And not just peace, perfect peace. Come on, somebody give the Lord a praise. We got to keep the God mindset. You know, when your mind gets on the flesh, you have to reset it to the Spirit. Yeah, anybody ever called IT, right? First thing they do, what do? They say, sir, is it plugged in? And you're like, of course it's plugged in. Okay, it's plugged in. Yes, it's plugged in. All right, is it on? I can see the logo right here. I can see this. Yeah. We're on, right? Then what's the first thing they do after that? They say, well, let's reset it. Why? Because sometimes the issue goes away after there's a reset. And for some of us, we just need to understand there might be an issue presenting itself to us. And hey, I just need a reset. I need to get back in the Spirit, reset my mind on the things. I've gotten off. I've touched that dial. And now it's time to get back to the programming that God has for me. Are you listening? You ever heard them say this? We're going to do a hard reset. See, sometimes we need to give ourselves a hard reset. It can be hard. It can be hard at times. But sometimes you got to go the extra mile. Sometimes you got to go to this. And sometimes it's not just prayer. It's prayer and fasting. Sometimes it's discipline. Sometimes it's accountability. To get ourselves back on the God mindset. Hey, if you ever hear me complaining, would you just slap me in the face? Maybe not that. Maybe not that hard, right? But would you just confront me? Would you tell me, hey, you're getting in the flesh? Would you hold me accountable to my language and to my words? If you ever see me heading towards the bar, would you keep me accountable? Because I need a hard reset. I need to get my mind off of the bottle and off of escaping my troubles through drunkenness. No, I need to get back in the God mindset and have that perfect peace that God offers. Would you help me with this hard reset right now? Would you just sit with me? Would you encourage me? Can we study the Bible together? Can we pray together? Can we go to the house of God together? Would you pick me up for church? Would you be my accountability partner? Would you ask me how I'm doing? See, sometimes we need the hard reset to get ourselves out of the flesh and get back on the Spirit, because it's going to be a fight. And like we said, you cannot fight from the flesh. It's not just mind over matter. I know we're talking about that the battle is fought and won in your mind, but really it's when your mind links up with the Spirit. This is a spiritual thing, and you have to fight, not from your flesh, but fight from the God mindset. You got to get the God mindset, keep the God mindset, but then you got to fight from the God mindset, not in the flesh. Like I said today, very practical. Let's take a look at this in 2 Corinthians. Turn back with me to the New Testament now. Everybody doing okay? All right, just checking in on you guys. You guys got a little quiet. We're going to extend the service another 2 hours. I'm just playing. 3, all right? Here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 3 through verse number 6. God shows us how to fight the spiritual battles that we face in the flesh from the power of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 says this, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Now, what is he saying right here? Walk. Anytime you see the word walk, it's how you live your life out, right? We know that we're living life in this earth suit. We're living life in this flesh, in this body. You're going to eat, you're going to drink, you're going to sleep, you're going to talk, you're going to do things in life in this body. So though we walk in the flesh, notice he says this, we do not war according to or in the likeness of the flesh. We know that there's some things that we can do with power and might and strength and exertion just from our own will and from our body. There are things that we can do, we can overcome, we can wrestle with those things. But there is a limitation to that power that's limited to what the flesh can do. So he says, even though we live life in the flesh, in this body, we don't wage the spiritual war from our body. It doesn't work. We do not war according to the flesh. Verse number 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not fleshly, but mighty in God. Notice that, mighty in God, they're spiritual. You can find all the spiritual weapons all throughout the Bible. In fact, Ephesians chapter 6 has a list of some of them, right? You got the sword of the Spirit. You got the shield of faith, helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth. You got your feet covered with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You got your good news shoes. All the spiritual weapons that are available to us. He says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. These are not fleshly things. You can't save yourself. You can't be righteous in yourself. You don't have anything that you need within the flesh. It all is going to come through the spiritual word of God. So the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God. Now notice he says, for the pulling down strongholds. Strongholds. Now there's a beautiful word picture here. It's kind of cool. I'm going to put a picture of it up on the overhead screens for you. Really, it's rebellious castles. That's the word picture for strongholds. Rebellious castles. Look at this thing. I don't want to go up against that. I mean, the archers would probably get me if I came through. If I could get past all those guys with the swords and the spears, man, I don't want to walk into that big old mouth. That thing might eat me, you know? It might be like the Lion King, you know? Not the Lion King, Aladdin, right? That was the one. Some of you Disney fans are correcting me in your thinking right now. But I don't want to go in there. That looks crazy. See, but this is the idea behind this word strongholds, because sometimes people are dealing with things that are rebellious in their mind. See, the knowledge of God says one thing, but there's a stronghold, there's a castle that's been built up and it's coming against you. It's coming against your thinking. In fact, in secular Greek usage, this word transitioned from being just a castle to also being used of a prison. See, what it starts with is this rebellious thought gets into your mind and it starts to come against the knowledge of God. And as it do, it builds up bigger than it should be. And now all of a sudden, it has you held captive. So it says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. In the flesh, I can't go up against this. But with the powerful weapons that God gives me, they're mighty in God for pulling down strong. I can take this thing down. Doesn't matter how big that giant is, it's going to fall before me. Why? Because I got the weapons of God at my disposal. Look at verse number 5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. See, anytime the knowledge of God comes in, the devil's going to come and he's going to try and question it. Isn't that what happened in Genesis? Did God really say? How about with Jesus? If you're the Son, he's questioning the word of God. Don't think for a moment that when you leave church today that it's just going to be hunky-dory and everything's just going to be fine. No, the devil's going to come up and he's going to say, did that pastor really say? He's crazy. That guy doesn't know what he's talking about. See, the devil's going to try and lie to you and tell you you've dealt with this all your life. You'll never get over this. This is how it is. The doctor said, your mama said, your teacher said, the sergeant in the army said. No, no, listen, stop listening to the devil and his lies. And when that lofty thing exalts itself against the knowledge of God that you have, you can pull it down with the weapons that God gives you. How do I do this? How do I do this? Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every what? Oh, come on and help me out. Come on. Bringing every what? Every thought into captivity. See, your thoughts want to take you captive. No, you take your thoughts captive. You choose where your mind is going to be, whether in the flesh or whether in the spirit. We cast those things down in the name of Jesus. I take them captive right now by the power of God and the authority that he's given me. I don't let my mind run rampant anywhere it wants to go. I'm not going to let the devil shoot his fiery arrows into my thinking. No, I've got the shield of faith lifted up. Those thoughts can't stay. They might make it in there every now and then, but I'm not going to take them captive because I'm not going to allow that thing to become a stronghold that holds me and takes me a prisoner. No, I'm going to bring it down in Jesus' name. It will not stand in my thinking. Bringing every thought into captivity. Look at this, to the obedience of Christ. Remember, Jesus Christ was fully obedient to the will of God on our behalf. You can't do it on your own, but by the power of God, you are in him and he is in you. And when you yield to the Spirit of God, now he comes in and you bring those thoughts to him and you say, Jesus, I cast this thing down in your name. And guess what? His life is now lived in you because you're walking in the Spirit and you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is where the rubber meets the road. Verse number 6, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You cannot let that thing stay without beating it up on its way out. Give the devil a swift kick in the pants as he's running for the door. Are you listening? Some of you guys grew up in the streets, you grew up in the hood, and when you became a Christian, you thought you had to be soft and loving and huggy bear. And guess what? God says, I need you to become a warrior. I need you to fight just like you fought the wrong fight before. Man, get gangster on the devil, somebody. Come on. Use what you got. You got an attitude? Throw it at the devil. Come on, some of you ladies. Something snarls at you, you snarl right back. Some roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Listen, let the lion of the tribe of Judah rise up on the inside of you and you show him what a roar really looks like. Don't come at me with that. Don't put that thinking in my mind. No, I take that thought captive right now in the name of Jesus and I cast it down and I cast it out. But then you punish it. How do you punish it? Here's how, with the word of God. Remember, the word is spirit and it is life. And the last thing the devil wants is the word coming at him. Why? Because that's a sword. That's the sword of the spirit. You hit him with the word of God, just like Jesus did. When the devil started coming and questioning the word of God, what did Jesus do? He said, the word says, it is written. The Bible says, God spoke. This is what God's word is. Anytime that thought comes in, no, you grab a hold of it, you cast it down, and then you pull out your sword and you punish it. You speak the word. You say, what does this look like practically? Here's what it looks like. Oh man, I'm just worthless. I can't do anything. No. The Bible says that your worth was determined by the price that was paid for you. Jesus Christ gave his blood, which is more precious than gold. 1 Peter chapter number 1 says, you start to speak the word. When that thought of going back to pornography comes in your head, you thought that you were free. But guess what? All of a sudden that thought comes in your mind. No. The Bible says, be holy, for I am holy. I take captive that thought. I cast it down, and I am holy as he is holy. How about the book of Job? I've made a covenant with my eyes not to look upon any young maiden or any old one too. Come on. But what are you doing? You're punishing. You're punishing it. Oh man, I just want to forget my sorrows. I just want to go and get drunk. Man, I wish I could. No. Realize that's the flesh. Take it captive. No. I take that thought captive right now in the name of Jesus. I cast down that vain imagination, that stronghold in my thinking. I don't care if my granddaddy was a drunk. I don't care if my mama was a drunk. Listen, I am not a drunk. I was saved. And the Bible says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. God, fill me right now. Fill me up right now. God, come and start to pray in the Holy Ghost. See, you got to punish every act of disobedience until your obedience is fulfilled. I got 3 words. I'm going to give it to you 2 different ways. That way, some of you guys will get one, some of you guys will get the other. Everybody's going to get something right now. Here's what it looks like. Confront it, capture it, and chasten it. When that thought comes in, you confront it. No. Then what do you do? You capture it. I'm not going to let you stay. And then what do? You chasten it. You speak the word over it. Confront it, capture it, and then chase it. It has to be punished. You have to get your mind back in the Spirit of God and don't allow the devil to keep racking your brains. Don't give him space rent free. Make him pay. Hello. All right, some of you guys don't like those 3 words. I'll give you 3 different words. Rebuke it, remove it, and replace it. There you go. See, when that dirty thought comes in, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. But then what do? You remove it. I cast you out, devil. I cast that thought out in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to stay in the flesh. But then what do? You replace it with the word of God. You get back in the Spirit. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where you overcome. This is how you control the flesh. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? No one getting up, no one leaving during this time. What is God speaking to you? Ask the Holy Spirit in this moment, God, what are you speaking to me? And then listen for his voice. If you have a scripture in your spirit right now, if God just quickened a scripture to you, speak it over your life right now, out loud. I don't care what people next to you think. God is giving you a weapon that you need to use. If there's a dirty thought in your mind, if there's a contrary thought, an ungodly thought, a fleshly thought, just take it captive right now. And then speak that scripture over it. Pull out your sword and use it. Because when you get to your car, the devil's gonna be there sitting, waiting for you. And he's gonna say, did God really say? Was that real? Was that God or was that you? Oh, it must have been you. You just made that up yourself. He's a liar. And you need to know how to fight. God gave you that scripture for that moment. You need to declare it over your life. It's time for change. You can do it. You have the spiritual strength. You have the wisdom of God. Don't let any lie from the pit of hell tell you that you can't. You can, and you will, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for your word today, God. We love you, Lord. Amen and amen. Come on, somebody give the Lord a praise. Pastor, hey, let's talk about your life. Let's talk about your eternal life. I don't want to just stop right here and just talk to you about your life here on earth. There is a life in eternity. We're only going to end up one of two places, either heaven or hell. I want to make sure that you make it to heaven and that you don't end up in hell. Not all roads lead to heaven. Not everybody's going to heaven. The Bible is clear that there's only one way to heaven. We can't get your way, my way, someone in any church committee's way. Can't just float down the lazy river of life and expect to make it. It's not going to make it. Wide is the path that leads to destruction. A lot of people are on it, but narrow is the way that leads to life, and there are a few who find it. Let me shine some light on the path for you. Jesus is God, and Jesus said this. He said, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. Notice he didn't say be good, because you can't be good enough. The Bible tells us all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Not going to make it to heaven by being good. Notice he didn't say attend church, be raised in church, keep coming to church. No, because there's going to be a lot of church people that don't make it. He didn't say get involved in church. Help out, sing in a choir, carry a pastor's Bible, make decisions, or get a membership card. God's not looking for membership cards or volunteer hours before you can enter the gates of heaven. That's not going to make it. Notice that he didn't say just know about God or know who God is or memorize a scripture or quote a scripture, because the devil can quote scriptures. He's not a Christian. The demons believe. Believe what? Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They're not Christians, and they tremble. Why? Because they know they're not going to make it. Everybody look up at me for a second. Look at me. Even online, look at your screen right now. This is not about what you have up here in your head. Mental acknowledgement of who God is or being able to quote a scripture or sing a song. It's not about what you've done out here with your hands, your good deeds, your church attendance, or your involvement, but it's about your heart. God's always been after your heart, and being born again is a spiritual thing. Remember, we talked about your spirit, man. When you sinned, you died. Not physically, but spiritually, you were separated from the life of God. And the only way to reconnect with God is by surrender. It's a simple statement that says, God, I'm laying down my life. I'm dead to sin and to that old man, and now, God, I'm going to take up your life. It's a simple surrender. And when you do that, God comes in and he makes you brand new on the inside. That's the being born again part, is on the inside. You get reconnected with God. You are born again to eternal life. It doesn't happen because you came to church. Sometimes people say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer. Well, yeah, did you follow it up with all of your heart and life? Because it's more than just magical abracadabra words that you repeat, wrote, and then all of a sudden, man, I'm right with God. I get to go to heaven. You get to live like the devil the rest of your life. That's not what God is saying. Listen, God listens to the words of your mouth, then he watches your life to see if it follows. And if not, don't think you're going to make it. Today, you need to surrender to God, all of your heart and all of your life. Be born again and head for heaven and deny hell. In a moment, I'm going to give you that opportunity. I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. When I say three, I'm going to pop my hand in this microphone. Bang, just like that. When you hear the sound of my hand popping that microphone, bang, that's your opportunity to simply raise your hand. And in raising your hand, you're saying, I want to give God all my heart and life, be born again, head for heaven, and deny hell. I'll see your hand go up, I'll count it, then you can put it right back down. Might be thinking, whoa, wait a second, time out, Pastor. If I raise my hand, I'll be embarrassed. Yeah, you might be. That's okay. Think of the trade-off. Isn't it better to be embarrassed for a moment than to stand up in hell forever? Don't let your flesh talk you out of this. Don't let the devil shoot those fiery darts telling you you don't need to do this. No, you need to go on with God. Tell that devil to go jump in a fiery lake. You're not going with him. You're going to go on with God today. Get right with God. Jesus said this. He said, if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me, I will deny you. Today, your call. Today, your choice. You can sit there and do nothing. That's choice. Or how about this? Get right with God. You can do that today. Today is your day of salvation. Who should raise your hand if you've been running from God instead of to God? I'm speaking to you. Who should raise your hand if you're not sure? Make sure. Who should raise your hand Maybe you've been in church all your life, but you've never done this before. Never crossed that line. Come on, today, it's your day of salvation. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't think you're young and you've got more time. No, no, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Maybe you're one of those people that's gone complacent. You're lukewarm in your walk with God. Jesus said, when I come, I'm going to find you hot or cold, but if you're lukewarm, I'll vomit you from my mouth. Listen, you need to be on fire for Jesus, and today might be a day of rededication for you. You can raise your hand with everybody else in this time and in this moment. Maybe backslid. You need to come home like the prodigal. You can do that right now. I'm going to count to three. Pop my hand on this microphone. You know who you are. Get ready to get your hands up live and online. Here we go. One, two, three. Let me see your hands. Just raise them up high right now. Get them up high. Get them up high. Where you at? Thank you. There's one, two. God bless you guys. Who else today? Need to give God all of your heart. Need to give God all of your life. Thank you, guys. You can put your hands down. Appreciate that. There's three up here. Yeah, thank you. God bless you. Who else today? You know you need to give God all of your heart. You know you need to give God all of your life. Don't tell me all the sinful people came to the first service. You need to surrender everything to God. Come on, don't play games with God. He sees your heart. You need to test yourself to find out whether or not you're in the faith, the Bible says. And if you don't know if you'd make it to heaven, or you know you wouldn't make it to heaven, don't wait another moment. Just get your hand up real high. There's two wise people already. I didn't embarrass them, and I won't embarrass you. Come on, where you at? That hand up real high. God's speaking to you right now, tugging at your heart. Well, I can't make you do this. Wish I could wave a magic wand over your head and all of a sudden you're right with God and you get saved, you get to go to heaven. But if you don't want it, guess what? You made a choice. And I pray for you that God would lead you to repentance. Can we all stand together in this place today? The Bible says that if you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. I'm going to invite both of you to raise your hand, and all those of you that should have raised your hand but you didn't, it's not too late. Get a hold of your coat, purse, sweater, Bible, a friend of your friend. Let's get in the aisle and meet me up front. Church family, be the full-time minister. Nudge your neighbor. And listen, don't just stand there and stare at me either. Nudge your neighbor and say, come on, friend. If you need to go, I'll go with you. Then bring them right now. Come on down. If you raise your hand, you should have raised your hand. Let's pray right here at the altar. Come on down. Come on down. Let's pray together. Right here at the altar. Come on down. Come on. If you raised your hand or you should have raised your hand, get out of your seat. Get in the aisle and meet me up front right now. Come on down. Come on down. Come on. They're coming. You can come too. You won't be alone. Come on down. Come on down. There's already more than those two, but I believe there's more. You need to come. Come on, they're coming. They're coming. This is the best decision of your life right here, right now. Come on down. Come on, you can come too. This is your time. This is your moment of salvation. Anybody else? Come on. Come on, I know there's more of you. Just take that first step. Come on, be bold. There's a whole family that loves you right now, cheering you on. You just need to get out of your seat, get in the aisle, and meet us up front right now. Come on down. Come on down. Well, hey guys, you came to give God all of your heart, came to give God all of your life. Best decision, I'll tell you that right now. Best decision I ever made was following Jesus. I was 15 years old and I didn't look back. God took me on an adventure. I'm still on the adventure some 30 years later. And it's just been amazing. I believe that God has some amazing things in store for you. Today, everything changes. Today is the first day of your walk with God. And I want to encourage you to be consistent in your walk with God. You know, if you go to the gym one time, that doesn't do you much good. And if you're inconsistent, it's not going to make it, right? You never become strong, never become healthy. Same thing with God, okay? You go to church one time, that's good. Great start. But man, stay consistent. In fact, give us this next year. Keep coming. Keep pressing into God. Keep praying. Prayer is just simply talking with God. You speak to him and then you listen. It's amazing what God will do when you just take time to talk. Read your Bible. If you don't have one, we'll give you one, all right? Where there's Bible downloads on your phone, that sort of a thing. We can show you how to do that. But there's some tools available to you. Just get a scripture. Get a paragraph. Get something that speaks to you each day. And then keep coming to church. Like I said, give us this next year. Next year of your life, next Thanksgiving, you'll look at your life and say, wow, look at the transformation. Look what God has done. It's going to be awesome, all right? I guarantee, all right? If you don't like it, I'll give you your money back, okay? Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Everybody's going to join in together with you, but especially those giving your hearts to the Lord right now. I'll say this. Say, Father God, I come to you today in the name of Jesus. I give you all my heart and all my life. Please come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me my sin. Cleanse me of my past. And give me a future with you. For I believe that Jesus Christ is your only begotten Son, that he came and died for my sin, and he was raised again to life for me. Thank you, Jesus. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit and lead me for the rest of my days, because from now on, I am saved. I'm born again. I'm headed for heaven, denying hell. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hey guys, welcome to the family. We're so excited for you guys. Now listen, before you head off, when I got saved, like I said, I was 15 years old. And I was raised in church, but I still needed some help. Needed a friend to encourage me, all right? This is my friend, Pastor Joel. Wants to be a friend to you, but also introduce you to a friend, a faith-filled friend who will encourage you in your walk with God, give you some free stuff, all right? Free literature, find out what just happened, what to do next, okay? And then after a couple minutes, he'll let you go. Your friends and family wait for you. If your kids are in the children's ministry, they're safe, okay? Just make a left turn, follow Pastor Joel right this way for a couple minutes. Come on, let's give him a hand as they go. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Let's get excited. People are getting saved. Amen. Well, family, if I don't see you this week, have a wonderful Thanksgiving. You know, the Pastor Jessica, myself, and the team here at The Rock Church, we love you so much, and we are so grateful for you. Happy Thanksgiving to you and to yours. Know that we're thinking of you and we're praying for you. But for the rest of us, if you guys are around, man, tonight, 6 p.m., different music. In fact, Pastor Brian's going to be preaching. He's a great preacher. You're going to love the Word of God. And Wednesday night, like we said, special time. Anytime we gather for communion, it is a special time. Bring your friends and your family. We're going to watch people get saved by the dozens and dozens and dozens. Amen. Would you lift your hands to the Lord? Let me bless you as we go. Father, these are your people called by your name. They're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming and going. May everything they put their hands to, they prosper. Lord, with a great big shout of faith about our area, we declare that the Inland Empire shall be saved.
What a blessing it was.
Hey, welcome to the family of God. Pastor Joel wants to welcome you in your new life with Jesus. We at The Rock Church and World Outreach Center want to help you intentionally grow. Pastor Dan wrote this little resource that's downloadable right on the website to you. Now that you're new, what are you going to do? This resource is to help you grow. This resource is to build you up, like Ephesians says in chapter 4, verse 1, to grow into all aspects of Him. Who's Him? Jesus. We have a culture here that at The Rock, where people like us do things like discipleship. Discipleship matters to us, and discipleship matters to you. Why does it matter to you? Because you need to grow. If you're ever on site, on campus, one of our faithful friends is here waiting for you. Faithful friends are designed to build relationship and community with you. You grow intentionally, you don't grow automatically. Thank you for checking in, and thank you for giving your life to Jesus. Let's grow together with one big family. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.